special city council meeting of December the 18th, 2017, at 5:03 p.m. Can we have roll call, please?
Bonnie Onion?
Here.
Harry Robinson?
Here.
Steve Lawrenson?
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart?
Here.
Charlie Hawkins, Meg Olson, and Paul Greeno are not here.
I'll entertain a motion for Paul.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Entertain a motion for Meg.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'll entertain a motion for Charlie.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay. Mr. City Manager, I have to leave at 5:45. So I would suggest we start with the council action items. Get those out of the way if you're in agreement with that.
I am in agreement.
Okay, well, we're going to move these council action items up in the agenda. And the first item is going to be Resolution 1725A-17, amending the unified fee schedule.
This resolution came in on Friday. There was a recommendation, I believe, by Councilmember Onion to essentially align the changes in the fee schedule for rates with the same timeline as general facility fees. So what this would mean is that instead of the GFFs going into effect on January 1, their effective date would be changed to March 1st. The remainder of the resolution that was passed by council is the same. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a flavor for how that might impact the utilities. In 2017, in the first 2 months, we actually brought in more than $100,000 in fees. But in 16 and 15, those were much smaller numbers. I'm talking wastewater, water, and storm. The differences in the rate per residential unit are approximately $203 combined, so that's the 2%. From what we are aware of, we anticipate at least 67 EOUs to be submitted in the first part of 2 months of 2018. So the lost revenue for those 67 units would be somewhere in the range of $13,000 of lost revenue across the utilities. So before you make a decision, I just wanted you to know about the impact, and I will leave it to you as to whether or not you want to go with the recommendation or not.
Now, those 67 units, is that out in Semyamu, or where is that?
No, that includes these 57 units and 10 units through the Welcome Scheduled Housing that we are aware
of. Okay.
We don't always have advanced knowledge of the future. I mean, if we had as much as came in last year, that obviously would be a much more significant hit to the utilities, because that was probably more in the range of 100 units.
Anybody objecting to the March 1st date? Okay, so staff recommends the council adopt the revised resolution 1725A-17, updating the unified fee schedule for 2018, and waive the second reading.
I will so move.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Are there any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. Hearing no nays, the motion is carried 4-0. Next item on the council action items is Resolution 17-2903, the Clyde Street vacation.
So at the last council meeting, it was asked that the staff look at alternatives to the bond that was being requested, or part of the, actually the original approval of the street vacation actually had the bond in it. There's a staff report that's on top of your desk that I'd like to walk you through. Just so that the background is kind of understood. So I think when we were going through the hearing process, we talked about how street vacations are not typically associated with a development like this, so it has some really unique characteristics. We did work with the developer through the site plan review phase and pre-app phase, and we came up with this idea of completing these public improvements that are in the right-of-way to be vacated. And so those requirements, if you recall, are relocating water main, the overhead power line underground, essentially reconstructing Clyde Street so that it is moved to the north since it is built on the south part of the right-of-way, and then the bonding at 150% because we were expecting that the development would likely, the development has to occur after the street vacation. We cannot submit for building permits until these requirements are met. We also recommend the public utilities might be remaining in place and fees as well as plans and description and so forth. So really all but the requirements within that first item have been met. Fees have been paid, etc. We have legal descriptions and whatnot. And so Mr. Saw brought in a letter at our last council meeting asking for some relief from that performance bond. When we looked at this, the street vacation, as you're probably aware, is been requested to increase the number of eligible units on that piece of property. And as I mentioned, that building permit can't be submitted yet. That bond was really to ensure that those improvements were done in a reasonable amount of time. So the concern here is in case of Mr. Saul, for whatever reason, needing to walk away from this project and having a vacated right-of-way where the street it doesn't align. So some of the risks to think about in your decision this evening is that really bonds are a guarantee of performance that is a part of the norm in the construction industry. So there's a precedent that is being or will be set tonight that is a departure from that norm. While we really believe that Mr. Saul is intent on this project, there's no way to really measure that risk of him potentially abandoning that, and we have had that issue here in Blaine. We had Marin as an example, Drayton Reach and Georgia Street as the most recent example. But because the street vacation can't be undone, we needed to really look at what other ways we might be able to handle that. Working with Mr. Sitkin, we came up with the idea of essentially while we recorded the ordinance, we at the same time required an easement that keeps those, keeps us at least with the right-of-way and the ability to continue to operate our street and utilities. In addition, Mr. Saul would need to execute an agreement with the city that explains the purpose for that easement and an understanding that no occupancy of any structure would be allowed on that property if for any reason these improvements aren't done. The remaining risk then comes if, again, for some reason he leaves this project and doesn't have a desire for those improvements or that particular amount of units in that piece of property, it then puts that risk on the next developer. So the next developer might be getting a bigger piece of property, but he's going to have more requirements than he would otherwise have if, for some reason, this project was abandoned. So the only other thing that is that we're asking for in the motion is that upon the development, that all the normal improvements, including bonding, aren't taken care of as part of the regular public works process where we have a public works construction agreement. So I just wanted to kind of read into the record a little bit of that report and some of the concerns around that, and I then bring it back to the actual council action item, which would be twofold. One is authorizing the city manager to sign that agreement that we're talking about, which has yet to be written, by the way, and then that you then adopt the ordinance, which is in a draft form. We found an error on it, so we've actually given you a corrected form, and we apologize for that. It was a pretty tight turnaround for us to bring all this together. And so that ordinance would be passed, and we would not record it until the agreement was signed. So it wouldn't, for all those reasons, Public Works and the city staff are recommending that alternative.
I think for the record, we should have it recorded that Meg Olson has now joined in.
Okay, I can do that. So then on the recommendation, I would recommend that these be two different motions, one regarding the agreement, and then once the council has made a motion on that, they can make a motion on the ordinance.
Any questions for Raven?
This is it.
Raven, Bonnie has a question.
Clarification. So we would require a bond, but not now like original. It would not be required until the structures were built and but before they start on the streets. Then a bond would be required?
It's going to be in conjunction with the development of the project. They're going to need to put the utilities in before they put in the structures, because the utilities are going to be serving those structures, and they'll probably do the street work around the same time as they do the parking lot and so forth, I'm assuming. Is that correct?
No. So what is the change? Is there any change in the bond requirements timing-wise or anything else?
So what this is allowing is for the start of the building permit, the site grading and so forth that will take place. My understanding is that it's a two-year construction for them, and they're trying to avoid the bond in the first year.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to...
Please tell me if I'm saying your words out of your mouth that are not correct.
Just have to get a one-year bond? Is that what?
So,
I guess I'm kind of.
This is so unusual that it's confusing. So, upon approved civil plans, the bond will be required, and that bond will actually be higher because it's going to include Madison and Kingsley. But my understanding was that that was going to be later in the project, and therefore you might avoid the cost of the bond for 1 year.
At this point, we're not sure when we're going to start doing the street improvement and the stuff, because utilities, for sure, because we need to put in the utilities and all that, but road improvements, we're not doing till the end, so that's why we're not ready to do the whole total amount of the bond for 2 years till we're ready to do some, to perform. And also, for the council to know, since the site plan was conditional approved based on the conditions, so we did submit the complete building plans for 57 units last Friday, so we are already vested in these pieces.
Any questions for the questions? Okay. Staff recommends the following.
I have another question.
Go ahead and ask the question.
What is going to be required on Kingsley?
I believe they're going to do a sidewalk along that side. We're not requiring any street widening or anything like that.
Okay, a sidewalk?
And it's not going to punch through Kingsley either. It's going to stop.
Who would the sidewalk service?
The sidewalk gives the ability for the residents from these units or for people that are on the Peace Portal Community Trail that want to come up to the park.
Okay. So up to the park?
Mm-hmm.
So do they have, are they required to do park improvements? Or
mm-hmm.
Why are we requiring a sidewalk on Kingsley? If, I would think the previous, the other development on the other side of Kingsley should have been required to do that, not these people.
This is what's on their approved site plan. It's actually, they proposed it, and we agreed with it.
Okay.
I think as far as a little history, Councilwoman Onion, on the property to the east, they had to do full street improvements.
Is your mic on? I can't hear.
Sorry. The property to the east, the one that you're talking about, which used to be called Brickyard Cottages, they had to do full street frontage improvements on Bayview, a complete rebuild, and put the sidewalk on the city at that time required them to install a sidewalk on the west side of Bayview because of the topography on the east side of Bayview and the wetlands and the challenge related to building on that side. So I suspect that this is before my time, but I suspect 12, 15 years ago, as some form of relief on them, instead of making them do a full redevelopment of Bayview, add the alley improvements, and build Kingsley, they, for the city at that time, decided to forego the sidewalk on the other side of Kingsley, because the city at the time required the sidewalk on the wrong side, if you will, of Bayview, put that burden on them, and I think at that point probably decided, well, we shouldn't double burden that particular project at that time with all those improvements, because they were rebuilding Bayview and Kingsley and Mary and the alley in between. There was a lot of infrastructure there. I don't know, but that's what I suspect.
So residents of this project would, they'd have access to that sidewalk through the parking lot?
Yeah.
And children to get to the play area?
That's correct.
Okay.
And I need to clarify, I mean, the bond will be required when public infrastructure is being constructed. So I want to make sure that's perfectly clear. The street improvements, I suppose if it's the council's wish, we can maybe divide it so it's not as big of a bond for the first time. But if you're planning public infrastructure in the right of way, we would require that bond once you have several plans approved, which we're not at that phase yet.
So can we make the bond just for public improvements?
The bond was for only public improvements.
Not the road.
Well, the road is a public improvement.
Okay.
But if they're not planning, you know, so maybe a suggestion would be that the council and your recommendation that if add fees bonding or something like that. Because normally we have a set of civil plans, we bond for everything that's in those plans. There is a risk to the public if someone's working in the right of way, and that's what we're trying to protect.
Okay. So phase bonding would be a possibility so that it would be a little less of a burden on the developer.
It would be less of a burden on Mr. Song, and it would be quite a bit more administrative work for us.
Okay. Steve, do you have any comments? Do you?
Okay, we've got staff recommends, number one, we authorize the city manager to sign an agreement with Sol LLC that includes the recommendation within the attached staff memorandum dated December the 15th, 2017.
So moved.
2017.
And it should be the amended staff memo dated today, the 18th. And there will be some minor tweaks in the ordinance as well.
And then the agreement would be something to be worked out between
yes.
you and the developer.
Right. We're authorizing the city manager to sign it, but yes, we need to work out the details.
Okay.
Could I get a confirmation then on who made the motion and who seconded?
Did I second it? Yep. I'll second it. If I could.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any further questions or comments?
I just want to make a comment. I'm going to abstain on this vote because I don't have enough background. I got here late. I don't have enough background. I don't think I can vote my motions.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Abstain.
One abstention. Abstention.
Abstention.
And so we have the motion passed 4-0. Okay? The next item that the staff recommends is the City Council waive the second reading and adopt Ordinance 17-2903, vacating the south 20 feet of the Clyde Street right-of-way between Madison and Kingsley Avenues.
Also move.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Are there any further comments or questions? Do you want to abstain from that?
I'll abstain from this vote as well.
Mike wishes to abstain. Okay. If there's no further questions or comments, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Hearing no nays, the motion is carried 4-0. The next item on the council action items is letter of intent.
So, Mr. Mayor, we're going to go back to the original agenda, which talks about a presentation. After the presentation, then we'd ask the council to go into executive session. So, I'll introduce John Quinn from IDS, who's going to be talking about a proposal to purchase some of the airport property.
Good evening. My name is John Quinn. I'm with IDS Real Estate Group. I thought I'd take a moment to introduce our firm. So IDS Real Estate Group has been around for approximately 30 years. We have over 100 employees. We're headquartered in Los Angeles. We have offices here in the state of Washington in Kent, in San Francisco, Orange County, and San Diego. Since our founding, we have added value to over $5 billion of commercial real estate projects. I would describe us as a very solid and competent group with a great reputation. The average tenure of our senior executives is over 20 years, and I personally joined straight out of college and have been with the firm for about 10 years and cover the Bay Area through the Pacific Northwest. We have a long list of blue chip clients, partners, and tenants, which include, to name a few, the California State Teachers Retirement System, which is the third largest pension fund in the country, PNC Bank, Clarion Partners, a large real estate asset manager, Apple, Amazon, Target, Wells Fargo, Starbucks, Philips, NBC, Disney, and many others. Here, specifically in the state of Washington, we have executed on over $300 million of projects. In 2016, we completed a 1 million square foot build-to-suit for Amazon in Kent. We're currently under construction on 1 million square feet in Lacey. And we also manage on a third-party basis about 1 million square feet of industrial projects in Kent and Tukwila. Now talking about the subject property here in Blaine, I apologize, but for now everything has to remain confidential. But our use would be a 15 to 20,000 square foot standalone grocer. It's a nationally recognized credit group with an outstanding reputation. They're known for treating their communities well, and we anticipate that this use would generate in excess of 50 jobs. We have no interest in doing a speculative development. Our only interest is to break ground for this user. And based on conversations I've had with your city manager, I think that this use is something that the community would be really excited about. So our goal is to agree to terms, execute a PSA, so that we can start spending money on our diligence costs and do all of our planning and hopefully get something done that I think could be really exciting for everybody. I left some handouts that kind of go into greater detail about our firm and some of the projects that we've done here in Washington that hopefully highlight our quality and some of the great things that we've done. So I hope that we can figure something out with the city, and I think it can be really exciting. Thank you very much for having me.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Yeah, Bonnie, we'd like to ask you a question.
Mr. Quinn, right? Mr.
Yes.
Quinn? Have you had experience with grocers in your buildings in the past?
Yes.
Okay. some major grocers?
Yeah, we've worked with a lot of national grocers extensively, yes.
Okay.
And this client as well.
It's a fairly small grocer, correct? 15 to 20?
15 to 20,000.
Is that considered a small, medium, maybe medium-sized?
Yeah, I think maybe 40,000 feet is maybe what you might find to be more typical. But
okay. That's okay. I'm just curious about that. Okay, that's all. Thanks.
Other questions?
Yeah, we know we have a grocery store there already, the Cost Cutter. Do we know what size that is?
I might be able to find out for you quickly, but it's definitely a larger grocery store. In fact, it's probably larger than typical, so my guess is it exceeds the 40,000 square feet.
That's all I need.
Further questions? Mr. Quinn, we appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing you more.
Yeah. Likewise. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So the calendar or your agenda says that 5:30 would go into an executive session, so I'd recommend that to the council. And then you come out with an action item. So it takes about maybe 10 minutes. I knew you'd need to leave at 5:45. We're set to your schedule.
All right. Just real quick, just because of that case we talked about, and we're going to talk about price and the type of selling prices, some of the factors that would go into the price we need to discuss out front and open. Those will be the property configurations, the depth of the property, how you value property close to abutting streets versus portions away from abutting streets. We'll look at other terms of the deal eventually. We may not discuss fully in executive session, but those could be how long is a holding period, is exclusive in a letter of intent, where indemnification lies, kind of standard things we've discussed in the past in other real estate deals. So you know, you take a property off the market for 6-7 months and it's exclusive, you've got a hot market, there may be a cost to the city. We're going to talk about those kind of things that affect price in executive session, so you can give us where you are, our directions.
Thank you. All right. Okay, we'll break for executive session at 5:30. We anticipate being our 10 minutes, and there will be action to follow.